Opening message, the sermonette, we have Mr. Nathaniel Koza.
Good morning. And for the Italianos, buongiorno. I have to apologize to Mr. Oust. I am coming from the Silicon Valley, and we rely on our technology a little bit. This one tells me what to say, this one gives me the words to say, and this one keeps you on the bus this afternoon. So, we are all here to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, and the last great day as well. And I have to admit that this is a feast that I look forward to more than any other within the year. All of God's feasts represent something special, but this one, to me, is especially a favorite because it is a time for rejoicing before the Lord, and it is a foreshadowing of our final victory in God's family and a small taste of what the world tomorrow will be like. Because of the Feast of Tabernacles, I've had the opportunity to visit many beautiful places, meet some amazing people of like mind, and experience a taste of God's kingdom, and I think we can all agree. Especially if all the conversation I heard before services are any indication, we are definitely rejoicing as one family. Today, in the short time that I have, I would like to explore a gift that God gives us for this particular feast that we may not have thought of in that way before, the gift of second tithe, or as some call it, the festival tithe. Now, being an engineer, I'm a fan of points, comes from heredity. My dad is also an engineer and a fan of points. So point number one, I'd like to review why we're here. We all, I hope, know the purpose of this feast. But as a refresher, let's all turn over to Deuteronomy 16 and starting in verse 13. Deuteronomy 16 and starting in verse 13. You shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days when you have gathered from your threshing floor and from your winepress, and you shall rejoice in your feast. You and your son and your daughter, your male servant and your female servant, and the Levite, the stranger, and the fatherless and the widow who are within your gates. 7 days you shall keep a sacred feast to the Lord your God in the place which the Lord chooses, because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and in all the work of your hands so that you surely rejoice. So, as an engineer, I like numbers. And this passage here sounds great, and I know we're all having a fantastic time rejoicing before the Lord and meeting with our spiritual family and our literal family as well. However, those of us who are inclined to letters and numbers like me will note that this is the kind of thing where you just don't take a week off and go. In order to rejoice, you need something special to take your mind off of the worldly cares. This feast, more than most, requires planning. Point number two, God has a plan. We all know that God is a big fan of planning. God's feasts themselves illustrate this, and they lead us to rehearse the plan of God every year as we celebrate them, because I don't know about you, but we all have, or at least I have a short memory sometimes, and it's always good to review. We encourage to plan not only through God's feasts and the points in God's plan that they illustrate, but in other areas as well. One passage that we turn to during baptism counseling is Luke 14, 28 through 30. If you'd all join me over there, Luke 14, verses 28 through 30. This is the parable of the tower builder. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost to budget, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, All who see it begin to mock him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." With this in mind, we can infer that God has a plan for us, because he wouldn't want us to go and begin to keep the feast and then not be able to finish it because we didn't plan ahead. So, if we know he has a plan, where is it? Well, let's turn over to Deuteronomy 14, verses 23 through 26. Deuteronomy 14, starting in verse 23. And the heading in my Bible says, "Tithing Principles." Starting in 23, "And you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide." We're all here in Sabaudia, where he has chosen to make his name abide in Italy this year. "The tithe of your grain and your new wine and your oil, of the firstborn of your herds and your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. But if the journey is too long for you, so that you are not able to carry the tithe, if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far from you, when the Lord your God has blessed you, then you shall exchange it for money, take the money in your hand, and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses." And I like that God thought of everything here, because I don't know about how many of you, but I don't have any flocks, I don't have any herds, and I think my landlord would get upset with me if I started farming in the front yard of his house. So we have this proviso to bring the money that we can exchange for it, or the money that we earn. Now, those of you with a financial leaning will recognize this as what's known as a sinking fund, or as our grandparents called it, saving up for something important. What this means is that if we follow this command, by the time of the feast, we have, for spending, rejoicing with our family, and learning God's way, we have approximately 4 to 5 times our weekly budget, plus the week off, hopefully, the opportunity to fellowship, the time to learn together God's way, and to rejuvenate ourselves for the coming year. Now, there is another point to this as well. If we turn to point three for myself this afternoon, is we are to help others. Now, we that live in formerly Israelite nations are extremely blessed. I know I personally count myself among those that are extremely blessed. We have a lot of benefits. We live in peace. We go to and fro, and we, for the most part, live in a peaceful world with little challenge that we might face in other parts of the world. But not everyone will have enough. Some people may come into the church later and not have time, or they might not learn about this festival tithe right away. And so those of us that are blessed and we keep the tithe can be a blessing to others as well. And if we turn back to Deuteronomy 16 and 14, which we read in the beginning, you can actually note that this is mentioned. If we look at 14, it says, "And you shall rejoice in your feast, you and your son and your daughter," which is your immediate family, "and your male servant and your female servant," those within your household or those around you, "and the Levite, the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow who are within your gates." This looks to the time when in the world tomorrow, we won't have an adversarial relationship with many people around us. We will all be in this together, so to speak. And so we should remember the widow and the fatherless, the new in the faith, and those less fortunate. And my parents don't know this, but there's this, and I'm going to tell this story. But when they first came into the church, they came in a relatively short time before the Feast of Tabernacles. And so they hadn't had time to fully save the full year for the feast. And back in those days, the feast that they were going to was in Squaw Valley, in, I guess it's Nevada at that point. It's right on the around the border of California, Nevada, and the United States. And they were at the feast. They took what tithe they had, and they went to the feast as God commanded. And while they were there, they found out about the giving of the extra leftover tithe to help with funding of the facility and things like that. And my mother really wanted to be able to contribute something to that. And so they prayed to God about it. And for the remainder of that feast, they couldn't pay for anything. They tried to go out to dinner. They tried to go shopping and things like that. And no matter where they were, people were there to help pick up the slack. And God answered their prayer, and they were able to contribute a last little bit that they had left over to the feast fund. So this is something that we also can do for others who are young in the faith, less fortunate, perhaps retired, and who may not have as much second tithe as they once did. In conclusion, God is our Father, and He dearly loves us. And when He tells us to do something, He also gives us the tools to accomplish what He's told us to do. It also says elsewhere in the Bible that He will not test us more than we can handle. The principles of second tithe, which are planning ahead, generosity, are how we are and how we are instructed to use it are principles that we can apply into our daily lives. With the Feast of Tabernacles and with Second Tithe, God is doing as He commands us to do with our children. He is teaching us, His children, as we walk by the way. He shows His love for us not only by giving us this respite from the world and intensive training in His way while we are here, but training us to plan ahead and giving us the opportunity to experience the blessing of being able to enjoy and to help others enjoy a wonderful foreshadowing of the world tomorrow.